Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Wonderful to see you here, all here today on this beautiful Lord's Day and Easter Sunday. And I'm excited about the message that the Lord has given for us today. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. 1 Corinthians 15, if you're there and you're willing and able, let's stand as we read a few of these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." If you would drop down to verse 12. It says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" We're going to explore more of this passage as we get into the message today, but I've got a question to pose before us, and it's the question that's right here in verses 12 and 13 about what if Jesus did not rise? What would that mean for us? What if Jesus did not rise? So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Please bless as we preach this morning. I pray that you would just anchor our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing. In 1999, an author named Robert Crowley put together a book, kind of a historical book called What If? And it's kind of an interesting read where historians got together and imagined all kinds of scenarios in world history that would have reshaped the world if things had not happened exactly as they did happen. So they talk about what if. What if the Assyrians, for instance, had not been forced to retreat from their siege of Jerusalem back in 700 BC and they had actually wiped out Israel? What would that have meant for the world? That there would have been no Judaism or Christianity or even Islam, that none of those things would have come to pass. What if Alexander the Great had died and never went on to conquer the world? How would that have reshaped things? What if Cortez had been killed or his attack on the Aztecs in Mexico had failed and the Aztec Empire continued to exist today? That would have changed American history. What if the Americans had lost the Revolutionary War? You imagine a world like that. What if Hitler would have attacked the Middle East rather than the Soviet Union, which was his downfall? What if the Allied invasion on D-Day would have failed? So some look at that book and say, "Oh, that's a terrible waste of time." But I find it fascinating to consider and think, what would this world be like if things didn't happen exactly as they did? But I have another question this morning, and that is, what if Jesus Christ did not really rise from the grave? What kind of a scary world would that be? And I'm not going to go into all the historical speculations of what the world would have developed like and how that would have unfolded. I have a feeling that all the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans, I mean, those were founded on Christian principles, and Christianity comes out of the resurrection. But I want to explore 1 Corinthians 15 instead and talk about more of the spiritual, the eternal ramifications of that scenario. What would that mean for our faith? What would it mean for our lives? What would it mean for us after our lives are over if Jesus didn't rise? And this isn't just some speculative waste of time this morning. There are a lot of people who aren't convinced that Jesus actually came out of the grave. 8 years ago, a poll was taken that said 25% of Americans did not think that the account of Christ's resurrection was factual. And I think that rate has probably risen in the last 8 years, the way the world's going. So statistically, one out of four people don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. What if that is true? What if? And obviously, we know he did. And we're not really questioning that this morning. But since some do question it, and since this is an extremely important doctrine for us, let's explore the what if and see where it leads. I mentioned last week that the church in Corinth, which is who this letter was written to, the church there was a mess. They had a lot of problems, and one of their problems was they had some doubts about the resurrection. And some of the heresies and divisions that had come up in that church were debating this very truth. And some were teaching that the resurrection was not a literal event, but that it was supposed to be just kind of a moral lesson for us. That's just a story to teach us some things about how to live better and stuff, but the resurrection wasn't really real. Well, that difference, that strikes at the heart of the gospel. We just got done with Galatians. In Galatia, the problem was they were adding something to the gospel. You've got to you have to believe in Jesus and all that, but then you have to do this and this and this on top of it. Well, here in Corinth, they were taking something away from the gospel. They were removing something. And that when you take away the resurrection, you're removing the very cornerstone of the Christian faith. So Paul begins the chapter by reaffirming the pure gospel. Look at verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And then verse 3, he says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received," and here it is, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And so if you boil it all down, that is the gospel. That is the core of the good news of Jesus Christ. That he, as the sinless Son of God, that he came down and he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that it was foretold. And he came and he died exactly as the Scriptures foretold that he would. And then Jesus was buried. And some resurrection deniers say that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross, that well, he just lost a lot of blood, and so he swooned, and he fainted. And then when he was in that nice cold tomb, he revived, and everybody called it a resurrection. No. He died. That's a bunch of baloney, because those Roman executioners were professionals. If there's one thing they knew how to do, it was kill a man, you know? And they made certain of it. It would be their heads on the chopping block if a prisoner that they were meant to execute didn't actually die. And if you remember, they confirmed it when they said, he's already dead. They took a spear and they pierced his side. And from the side, they went right into his heart and out came blood and water, the Bible says. They were making sure he's good and dead. And he was. He died. He was buried. They didn't just set him off to the side thinking, oh, he'll come around. We'll just wait around for it. No. They wrapped his body. They sealed him up in a tomb. And as far as the disciples were concerned, that was his final resting place. They were very confused about all this stuff. Even though he said he would rise, they didn't yet believe it. They didn't yet understand it. And so when he died, they rolled that stone in front and firmly believed that he was there to stay. The Pharisees even arranged to have the tomb guarded 24 hours a day with the Roman seal on it so nobody could tamper with the body. He was all the way dead and he was all the way buried. But then according to the Scriptures, he rose again the third day. The grave could not hold him, the giver of life. The guards fainted with fear when the angel came and rolled away the stone. And by the way, when the angel rolled the stone away, it wasn't to let Jesus out. He was already gone. It was just to reveal that he had risen. It was just to show that off. And then the Pharisees came along and paid off the guards. You don't tell this to anyone. You tell them that while you were sleeping, the disciples came and took the body. And so they started spreading that rumor. It's a bunch of lies. But this is the pure essence of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried. And the good news part of it is that he didn't stay dead. He literally rose again on the third day. And that's not simply a story. It's not just a nice thing we come to hear at Easter. It is a fact of history, just as certain, more certain. I don't think anybody in here would be a skeptic about the fact that George Washington was the first president of the United States, or that we fought the Civil War. But how do you know? Were you there? Well, there's all these witnesses and historical accounts, and so we hold it to be true. The resurrection of Christ is one of the most truthful, verified facts of history that has ever been. And Paul goes on and says, you don't have to take my word for it. I'll give you some proof that Jesus rose from the dead. Here's some eyewitnesses to his resurrection. He names names. Verse 5, he says, he was seen of Cephas. That's another name for Peter, the Apostle Peter. And then of the 12, so the rest of the apostles, they saw the resurrected Christ. It changed their lives forever, by the way, that resurrection. Verse 6 says, and after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, the greater part of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. So talk about a show of evidence. Can you imagine if you were a prosecuting attorney and you were supposed to prove a case and you had 500 witnesses that could stand up and say, yeah, that's what I saw, and all their witnesses, all their testimonies align. Talk about a slam dunk case. You know, that would be easy to prove, because it's strong evidence, the evidence of an eyewitness. Sometimes just one eyewitness couldn't put a person away for life. Just one or two witnesses can be enough evidence for someone to go be executed. 500 witnesses. And Paul says, most of them are alive right now. You go talk to them. They'll back up what I'm telling you here. Some of them have died, but the rest of them, they're still alive. They'll tell you this. Then verse 7 says, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. So Paul himself is an eyewitness. He was going down the road of Damascus, and the Lord appeared to him there, and he became the last apostle, the last eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. And I mean, that alone, just a strong case to where we can look at it and say, along with all the other facts of history that we know, this one is just easily verified by all the credible witnesses that are presented here. But then Paul goes beyond that, and he talks about the evidence of a new life in Christ. That is evidence. When a person meets Christ and their lives change drastically, that's evidence that Christ is risen. He points to himself. He says, verse 9, for I am the least of all the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me, which was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And so think about who Paul used to be. He was a wicked man. I mean, among the people that you picture in your mind as wicked people, you know, you think of like killers and people who are just zealots in their mind, and they're going to destroy people, some kind of genocidal thing. That was Paul. He was so zealous in what he believed, and he thought that the Christians were so wrong, he was rounding them up, arresting them, killing them. That's who he was before he met Christ. He was Saul of Tarsus. One time there was a man named Stephen, and they didn't like what Stephen had to say about Christ, and so they brought him outside the city, and they stoned him with stones until he died. That's a bad way to die right there. That's got to rank up there. Just getting pummeled with stones. And Paul was right there among them, the Bible says. He was consenting unto their death. He was one that just kind of held onto their coats, and he's cheering them on, saying, get him. Get him. He deserves to die. That was Saul of Tarsus. That's who that man was. He was the least of all apostles because he persecuted the church of God. So what in the world could take such a cold, hard killer and transform him into this man of God who was willing to go through anything to declare the gospel of Christ? Paul said it was by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That's the only way that you can account that I was that and now I am this, that the Lord revealed himself alive to me, and by his grace, he changed my life. Think about the other apostles. They weren't necessarily wicked men like he was. In fact, they followed Jesus. But if you read the story about the death of Christ, it says all the disciples forsook him and fled. When Christ went to the cross, they thought that they were tough. They thought that they were ready. But when that hour actually came, they were terrified. They ran for their lives. Nobody stood up for him. Nobody was willing to stand up at his trial and say, no, that's a lie. He is the Son of God. Nobody stood up for him. They all left. The days after he was put in the grave, they were terrified. They were hiding in a locked room for fear of the Jews, because they thought, our master has just been crucified, and they're going to come for us next. And they were so scared and so timid, so that for the Jewish authorities, they thought this whole Christianity thing was over before it began. They thought, this is done. These guys, we're not going to get any more trouble out of these guys. They're terrified, they're running, they're scared. We're never going to hear from them again. They're just going to disappear. And that's what it should have been, it seems like. So what changed? What happened where you see this ragtag, fearful group of displaced fishermen hiding, denying any connection to Christ, and then just a few weeks later, there they are standing up, boldly declaring to this same Jesus, to anyone who would listen. And they weren't deterred by any threat. They were thrown into prison, and they wouldn't stop. They were killed, and they wouldn't stop. What changed? The resurrection. They saw Jesus alive. He appeared to them. And that one event, to see that even death itself is no match for him, changed them for the rest of their lives. Acts 4:33 says, and with great power gave the disciples witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That was the gospel that was preached around the world. The truth of the resurrection of Christ. That was their message. That was what they were witnessing to. Because everything else, there wasn't power in it just because there was this great teacher that came and told them new ways to live. That was not the faith of Christ. What made it such an incredible message was that this man died. He was a righteous man. He died. They put him in the grave, and he, by his own power, came out again. And he lives forevermore. That's a message the world had never heard before. This is the truth of the resurrection that the Corinthians had believed upon at the beginning when Paul had come there. Verse 11 says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. And so ye believed. But now they were having doubts. And they, false teachers had divided the congregation. And so in verse 12, Paul asks them a question. He says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? I mean, what a serious accusation. What an awful thought that is. Can you imagine this morning where we would be if Jesus' bones were still lying in that tomb? What would this world be like? What would your life be like? What would we have? Because if that be the case, it unravels everything that we have anchored ourselves upon. Verse 13 says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. The whole system of Christianity comes crumbling down without the resurrection. It's built on that truth. Because without it, our faith means nothing. You know, some religions in the world, you know, I think about like Confucianism. They never worship Confucius as a god or anything. They just hold to some of the truths that he taught and that he was this teacher and stuff. No, that's not Christianity. We don't just follow a teacher. The resurrection is Christianity. And he said, our preaching would be vain, meaning it'd be empty. It'd be meaningless. To say that the resurrection may not have actually happened is to say that everything that the apostles lived and died for was a lie. And that every preacher who has ever stood up and declared the gospel to the lost has been wasting his life, wasting his breath with a message that doesn't mean anything. That every church that preaches the death, burial, and resurrection is nothing more than just a social gathering, coming together to make people feel good. But in actuality, it's all just vain. It's just meaningless. It's all just an empty tale. And I'm sure the Corinthians would say, oh, no. We still have faith in Christ. We still believe in him. We don't think that your preaching is in vain, Paul. We're not denying the importance of our faith. But Paul says, oh, yes, you are. Because those who deny the truth of the resurrection might as well just claim to not have any faith at all. It does you as much good. It's all meaningless without Christ coming out of the grave. In fact, it's worse than vain. It's worse than meaningless. Because what we would actually be doing is evil if Christ didn't rise. Look at verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So it's not just that the preacher of the gospel is wasting his breath. If Christ didn't rise, that means that I and Paul and all the apostles and every preacher since them is a deceiver of the worst kind, a false witness, someone who is leading people astray. And some people do like to acknowledge Jesus as just a man, just a human being, just a wonderful model of a person. Oh, he's a good teacher. He motivated people to be their very best, taught moral lessons about serving others. But Jesus is God? No. Virgin born? Doubtful. Literally rose again? Impossible. But see, here's the problem with that. You cannot hold the position, honestly, that Jesus was not God, and that he did not rise again, but he was still a very good man and a good teacher. That doesn't add up, because if he wasn't who he claimed to be, and if he didn't rise as he said he would, he really wasn't a good man, was he? If he didn't rise like he said he was going to, he's actually a crazy, delusional deceiver. Is that really what you think Jesus was? And he says this to the Corinthians. That's the accusation. That you can't believe in Jesus as this good model man and deny the resurrection, because if the resurrection didn't happen, he was a liar and a deceiver and delusional. Is that really what you're saying? Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. Then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. So let's take it a step further. What if he didn't rise from the dead? First, what we're doing here is a complete waste of time. All right? It's just vain, it's empty, it's meaningless. We're just wasting our breath. Then the conclusion is it's worse than that, because we're actually false witnesses. We're lying. We're deceiving people, leading them astray. Christ himself was a deceiver, leading people astray. If he didn't come out of the tomb, take it a step further, you have to realize that without the resurrection, there is no salvation for sin at all. That we know from the Word of God and from our own experience that all of us have sinned. No, nobody in here would say, I'm perfect, I've never done anything wrong. No, we know that we are sinners and that we have fallen short of God's perfect standard, and that no matter how hard we try, none of us can ever measure up to what God expects. So our situation would be hopeless without this, without the gospel. We would just be lost in our sins forever and ever. And so the gospel gives us hope. It's the good news that Jesus died for our sins on our behalf. He paid the price. And that by his own power, he rose again victorious over the grave. The wages of sin is death, but he paid that for us. And because he lives, we too can live in him. Salvation and cleansing of sin, that's only possible because he lives. But if his bones are still lying there in that tomb in Jerusalem, then all hope is lost. What that really means is that Satan won that day, and that sin and death cannot be beat. There's really nothing to believe in that can wash away sin outside of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And then once you die, if Jesus didn't really rise, there's no hope beyond that either. There's no hope of heaven. He says, look at verse 18. He says, then, you follow this down to its conclusions, then they also which are fallen asleep, which is another word for passed away in Christ, are perished. He's saying, if Jesus couldn't beat death, how can we? There's no, if you say he didn't really rise again, you resign yourself to a Christless, hopeless eternity. Isn't that an awful, awful picture? Isn't that an awful thought? What a terrible place we would be in if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. And some say that Christianity is all about just being a better person, you know, in life. And then it's all about just making you a good citizen and a good neighbor that helps others. And that being, and some even teach that being a Christian is the path to great health and riches and stuff. If so, I missed that boat somewhere. You know? It's not about that. Some people believe it's just a way of living that helps you have your best life right now. Well, I do enjoy my life as a Christian. I love how it's a clean life. I love that I'm free from the bondage of sin. I'm free from darkness and confusion. And I love a life of confidence and faith. It's a clean life. It's a good life. But our faith in Christ isn't really just about what it does for us here and now. What if Jesus didn't really rise again? And what that would mean is that when it's all said and done, there is no heaven to gain or hell to shun. There's no rewards or judgments. If there is no God to face one day and give account of our lives, if all that is a myth, what are we doing here today? You know? What are we even doing? This would just be a big waste of time. We'd be wasting our lives. And what about those Christians? I don't know if you've seen on the news and stuff what these ISIS folks are doing to people who believe in Jesus over there. They're cutting their heads off. They're burning them in cages. What about them? What if it's all about here and now? And because you took a stand for Christ, you died in a very painful, awful way, and you didn't really have to because he didn't really rise again. Come on. Verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If it's all over after we die, why even try to live a moral life? Why worry about salvation or sin or judgment to come? Why stand for anything? Might as well just live it up, right? Might as well just live it up. Verse 32 says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And to me, that sounds like a miserable way to live. A life with no faith for today, no hope for tomorrow, no purpose for being. And that's where we would be if Jesus did not rise from the dead. But aren't you glad for verse 20? It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. Now is Christ risen. It's not a lie. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just an allegorical story that Jesus, the sinless Son of God, came to this earth, died for my sins, died for your sins. He was completely buried, and 3 days later, he really did rise. He really did come out of that grave, just as he said. So to every atheist and skeptic outside these walls, I have a question for them. What if Jesus really did rise again? Because that has some enormous ramifications too. If it all is real, it changes everything. Because Jesus, he did come out of that grave alive by his power. And you know what that means? That means death is not the end. That means we have hope beyond the grave. Verse 21, it says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So what he's saying there is we all inherited the sin nature from our father Adam, and because of that we inherited death, and we all have to die. But now, because of the resurrection, all who put their faith in Christ have received the gift of everlasting life. Because he lives, we can live forever. Verse 23, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." So because of the resurrection that happened way back on that first Easter morning, it means another resurrection is coming when Jesus Christ returns. Look over in verse 51. He talks about it. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Death is not the end. Death is a defeated enemy because it could not hold him. I'll show you what the end is. The end is not death. The end is life. Verse 24, he says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." And look at this, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Look down at verse 54. This is exciting, all right? This is where you can smile a little bit. This is good news, folks. Verse 54 says, "For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." What if Jesus didn't rise? Well, then we are of all men most miserable. That's some bad news. But thanks be to God, he did rise from the dead. He says in Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death." Because he really is alive, this life that we're in right now, this isn't all there is to live for. There is a life to come. There is a day when we will stand before God, the righteous judge. So don't live just for today. Don't live for right now. Live for that day, the day when God will open up the book of life to see the names of those who have put their faith and trust in the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? Look back at verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." That's it, folks. That is the gospel of Christ. That's it. If you take anything away from it, it's no longer the gospel. If you try to add stuff to it, add your own works and your own efforts to it, it's no longer the gospel. It's not about what we can do. It's about what he has done. So I hope there's no need for questioning and speculating about what if Jesus didn't rise. We know the truth. And the truth is, he did. And because he lives forevermore, so too can we. That's good news. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the power of the resurrection.